This morning, as we take a look at Romans, the 12th chapter, starting with the 9th verse, we see Paul, he wrote this letter to the Roman church. And, you know, folks, the thing is pretty cool, I think, about it, if I'm reading right and studying right. I don't think Paul had even been to the Roman church. He had not yet had that opportunity, had he, Brian? And he was just, they were probably there the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit poured out upon them, I would say. I would say they went back and they began to tell the other people what they had encountered, what they'd seen, what they'd heard. And you need to know what God has done on the day of Pentecost. And they put together this church. And so Paul is writing this letter to them. And as he writes this letter to the church, when we get to where we're at right here in Romans 12, 9, he's talking about one another. Each other. Not about Mike. Not about Paul. He wasn't talking about just himself, a me thing. Like Brian said a while ago, it's a world that we live in. It's all about me, folks. I want to tell you about me. It's not about me. It's about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, it's about Him. Everything is about Him. And so we see that Paul is trying to give them direction of how to make this church be the very best that it can be. To be the very best in everything they do. But he says, if you're going to be the church that God wants you to be, he said, you're going to have to take care of one another. Well, you know, Irvin says, well, I don't need any help. I'm doing pretty good, Mike. You can go on up the road and help somebody else. I'm good, you know. Ain't that the way we think, Irvin? Sometimes it is, yeah. And Irvin will call and he'll say, Mike, I'm going to help you. Hey, Irvin, I'm good. So that's the way we think, folks. But maybe not. Maybe Mike's not good. Maybe Mike's just saying, hey, I'm good, Irvin. I'm good. I try not to talk about Mike a lot, even though I do a lot, I guess y'all think. But I try not to. But Paul is just saying to these people in this letter, as we look at the 9th verse of Romans 12, he says, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Golly, Bill. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. And don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. Don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. And dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. But instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. And in doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. This is a reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, folks, as we hear the reading of God's word, and Paul is talking to the church. I got to stop just a moment and think about Paul, because Paul is in his second life. He's in his second part of his life. First part, he didn't love each other, did he? He was Saul, and he done everything. This dude was one mean dude. And he would kill you. He had people stoned. And we know that he was, as he was persecuting the church, God struck him off of that horse, and when he, or mule, or whatever he's on, and when he did, he had a change of heart. You begin to see things differently. When God brings you to your knees, when he brings you all the way down, you begin to see things differently. Saul knew that Jesus was in his presence. He knew that he was a blessed man to be able to see him and to be able to hear the words being spoke to him and the things that were happening to him. And so he knew from his experience of his first life to the experience of his second life that he knew exactly how Jesus wanted him to teach others. So he says to love each other, love one another. There's three love one another's in these first few verses right here of about through 16, 9 through 16. And so when we look at those one another's, we see that he says, love one another with genuine affection. But he started out in the ninth verse saying, really love them. Love them with genuine affection. Now, folks, it is hard. I don't care who you are. It's hard for me. It's hard for Brian. It's hard for any preacher there is to love each and every person that you come in contact with genuine affection. People have a tendency, I don't know if y'all ever noticed this, they have a tendency to not let you love them. Amen. They have a slight tendency to let you like them, but it's hard to love them, you know. I mean, it's just hard. And I mean, we know. We just know because people are people. But Paul says that we have to have a genuine affection of love toward each other. You meet a rank stranger. So when you meet this stranger, what do you think when you first see him? What do you think? You instantly, when you see somebody, you instantly have an opinion. Amen? Yep. Amen. You can't help it. Just like that. Walked in Cracker Barrel Tuesday morning at Nashville. Sat down, and this guy, they set us down right here by this guy. To look at him, I looked over at him. I didn't pay him much attention. Pretty rough looking dude. I looked back, went on about my business. And folks, let me tell you, my first opinion was there's a rough dude sitting here beside me and with a lady, and he's setting a table right over from me. So we got ready and ordered, and as we ordered, then I said, well, let's bless the food before it gets here. And as we blessed the food, I look over and I noticed he took his hat off and he found his head, him and his wife that was there with him. And I said to myself, And so I went on and blessed the food. And I said, when he got done, I said, thank you, sir, for bowing your head and participating. And he said, oh, that's no problem. He said, you know. And I'm thinking, man, this dude, he's not near like I thought he was, you know. I was thinking that this is somebody I'm going to have to keep my eye on, and here he's right with me. But he looked different than I did. And as we continued to sit there and we began to talk, folks, he had been that morning for pre-ops for his surgery that he had Thursday. And he had a tumor on his spine, and they took it off. And she called me Thursday afternoon and told me that tumor had been taken off. He made it through surgery good, and that it right now they didn't have the results back, but they thought it was okay. And she said, I just want to thank you for your prayers, Mike, because I told them, I said, I'm going to be praying for y'all, and I'm going to be keeping y'all in my prayers this week. And so she called me and thanked me. And we left there. He was one of the most likable people I've ever met on the spur of the moment. You know, he was an old Harley rider, you know. But likable? Man, he was likable. And I just took to him. Loving that man was easy because we shared so much in common. What if that had been someone that was just like I thought they was going to be? Could I have loved him with deep affection that I did? Fount was this boy's name. Very unique name. Fount. Could I have loved him like I did Fount? You see, folks, Paul knows that it's hard to love everyone. Unless you have conversation with them, unless you have contact with them, you'd really, in the world we live in today, we really don't know who we're, dealing with. So we have to have genuine love for each and every person until proven different. You know, he also tells us to take delight in loving each other. And I try my very best to take delight in the love that I show other people. But sometimes, as well, that delight is hard to do. Loving people requires lots of different actions, folks. It may require you giving up your time or your talent of something right at that given moment. It might require money out of your pocket. The other day I was on the phone with Tammy and this guy pulls up beside me and I was getting out of the car at the bank and he said, I got a hole in my oil pan. And I need $12. I like $12, having enough money to get a new oil pan. And I look at that car and I said, I don't see no oil out from out of that car. And I mean, if you got a hole in your oil pan, you got some problem. And but he needed $12. Well, I give him $14. And Tammy's on the phone with me. And I'm wanting to question him. I'm wanting to find out why are you telling me you need this when you don't. But she said, either give it to him or don't. It's just that simple. Either give it to him or don't. Just hush. I mean, you know, love. You got to love him or you don't love him. One of the two. You go either do it or you're not going to do it. So no matter what I thought about that man's oil pan, I give him $14 because that's what I had in my pocket that right at that given moment. You remember everything I had. Told him I was good. Here, go for it. So, folks, when we see what Paul is trying to tell us, he tells us to be patient and keep on praying. That's one of my favorite verses, is when he says, rejoice in our confident hope, be patient in trouble, and keep on praying. And when God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Now, folks, that day, when I got out of the bank, that man, I don't know him. I've seen him around town. But he is God's people. He is made from God's image just like me and you. He is God's people. And it's up to us to do our best to practice what hospitality we can toward others. And let God sort it all out. Because it's not for us to sort out. It's for God. You know, I think Paul knew and understood verse 14 more than probably I do and anything else. But he said, bless those who persecute you. He had been one to persecute everyone. He knew what it was like to persecute. He says, bless those who persecute you and don't curse them. You know, I think about Elisha when we read what we read this morning. And I think about how he could have persecuted all of those people. And instead, what did he do? He fed them. He loved them. And he sent them on their way. And when they got back home, they didn't come back messing with Elijah no more. Because they said, he is totally crazy. This man would have normally just killed all of us and been done, but instead he took care of us. He blessed us. He showed blessing upon us and sent us home. So they didn't come back for the second round. They decided they'd stay at home. And this is what a church that we are supposed to be looks like. You never pay back evil with evil. A lot of times, folks, that's hard. It's very hard. Because your mind runs in a side of your mind, a side of my mind. It runs in getting even. I think we all are like that. Our minds say, I want to get even. I want out of this, and I want to get even with this dude right here. I'm going to do it. I'm going to figure out how to do it. But you can't do that. So as the scriptures tell us that God will be the one to take the revenge, folks. Nothing happens. Nothing happens in this world. And we're living in a world right now where we wonder what might happen next, what's going to happen next. We're living in a world where we think, let's just do this to this bunch before they have a chance to do it to us. You know, don't take revenge before you know what's... God might change that situation 100%. We just don't know. So he says, let me take care of this. Let me have the revenge. You don't be trying to do it unless I'm leading you that direction and taking you that direction. And then, just as Elijah fed the people and sent them home, he says, feed your enemies that are hungry. Give them something to drink. And he said, in doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. You know, folks, I think some of the times that of my growing up years and the years of coming up, some of the times that I have been shown, not that I showed, but that I have been shown this grace that God shows each one of us by one of my enemies, by someone that I didn't even expect it, it made me completely, completely think differently of that person. I don't recall a time that I did not think more of that person than before. So we know that's probably true with each one of us. If you have an enemy, if you have someone that you're not really, you don't really mess with, you know, well, I just kind of leave this dude alone. I don't mind helping him, but I'm not going over and asking if he needs any help. But then when he shows grace to you, grace that God showed to you. You know, God showed us love that we did not deserve. If you wanted to write it down that we deserve this and offer a argument to God that we deserved everything that Christ done for us, we couldn't win that. We did not deserve it. Yet God said, I love you, Mike. I love you enough that I'm going to send my son Jesus. That grace, that undeserved love, that love that he had for us was so, so great. And that is what happens. Because God sent his son Jesus, because he died upon that cross, because of the love he gave to us, what do? Even when we're like Paul and we're like Mike, I was just in some ways as bad as Paul. How come we look toward Jesus? Because of that grace that he poured out upon us. That's why we look toward Jesus. We open our eyes and open our heads sometimes, you know, and use it something besides for a hat rack. We open our minds to Jesus. And when we do, we say, Lord, how could I not love these people that's around me? How could I not give grace to someone that is mistreating me? Because you gave it to me. How could I ever say that I'm greater than you and not give grace back to this man right here? Folks, if we truly love Jesus Christ, If we truly thank him for what he done on that cross, how in the world could we not love the people around us? It's impossible. Because when you get the fact that you've been given that grace, you can't hold on to it. You'll give it away. You'll give it away to everybody that will accept it. And even if they don't accept it, you place that little seed in their mind, and they may go away that day, and they may accept it. You see, folks, we never know who God's people are. That dude that had the hole in the oil pan, that I never seen a drop of oil, he drove off. I never saw a drop of oil. I said, hey, dude, wait a minute. He said, yeah, what is it? I said, I'm Mike Wimberly, it's my name. I said, I'm one of the pastors, and we meet right over here. I pointed right here at this building. 10 o'clock. Not did I expect to see him this morning, but I said, 10 o'clock. I'd love to have you in church. Come, be part of us. I invited him to come and to hear the word. You know, that's all I could do. That's all you can do. But that seed was planted. Maybe he's thinking about it this morning while we're here. Maybe he's thinking about, I could have been over there with them folks. Maybe he'll think about it and come in a month. Maybe someone else will show him some grace. And he will catch on to what grace really is. It's God showing through us to him. So folks, when we stop and we think about what Paul was writing, he was writing to a group of people that he'd never met. But he knew they were brothers and sisters in Christ. He knew these people loved God enough and had gotten the Holy Spirit that day at Pentecost. He knew that they knew who Jesus was, and he wanted to make sure that they understood he loved them. He wanted to make sure that they had a healthy church, what Brian's been talking about on Wednesday night. We want to make sure the church is healthy. We want to make sure that we all get it. We all understand. And so this is the reason that he was taking all this time, because God had laid it on his heart to write these letters to these churches and to show the grace that he had been shown. I hope today as we go back into the world, you have an opportunity this week. I hope God gives you that opportunity this week to show some grace to someone. And I actually hope that it's someone that you really don't care that much about. Someone that's really not your favorite. Because it's pretty easy for me to show a little grace to Tammy, but it's hard sometimes for me to show a little grace to somebody else, you know. You see, folks, that's how much God loves you. And I just want everybody to understand the love of Christ for you. I see it every day where people do not have God's love in them and they do not want it. And folks, they probably that day or this week, they're not going to accept it. But we put that seed out and we let God water it. And after he waters it, we never know what might happen. Might be after we're gone. We may not ever be here to see it. But he knows. God knows. If y'all had known me really well when Tammy met me, you'd said, Mike, you need some seeds. You need some water. And I have had the seed and the water. And it's been very good for me. And if I can accept it, folks, if I can get it, anybody can get it. So never give up on your loved ones. Never give up on your friends. Never give up on those around you. And try not to do like the preacher. Look over there and say, I better keep my eye on this dude. Don't be judging so much, because they are God's people, every one of us. And every one of us, I really don't care who you are, you got a little bit of good in you. You just got to sometimes find it and just pull it out, you know. Because they're made in the image of God. Now, a lot of people do bad things, and they don't show that love. But it's just our duty, as Paul was telling the Roman church, it's just our duty to tell others. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.